bailo, compadre. Que me voy, prenda amada, lucero hermoso de madrugada. Que me voy, prendecita, lucero hermoso de mañanita.
Good morning, folks. You are listening to Central Vermont Community Radio, 91.1 FM and 91.7 FM, and this is Amy's Kids Show. And it's Saturday, and it's our favorite day, and I know it's not just my favorite day. I happened to see some of my neighbors hanging out this morning already, hanging out at like 7 o'clock this morning on the lawn, visiting with each other, and you know, one is a cat and one is a rabbit. And I happen to know that cats and rabbits do get along quite well because I've had some that were good friends at my house. But these guys were neighbors. They don't even live at the same house. But the rabbit went over to visit the cat this morning, which I think is just great because, you know, people and animals, I mean, you know, mammals especially, like cats and rabbits, we love to be with each other usually, right? We love to have friends and company and good company, and you know, that's kind of one of the best things in life. And so we really want to encourage kids and grown-ups too, you know, to do that as much as possible. That's one of the goals of Amy's Kids Show here, is to help us all get along. And you might remember that for the last few weeks we've been learning about screens and TV screens and phone screens and video game screens and how those glass screens that show us pictures and give us all kinds of sounds all the time and noise, those screens can sometimes get in the way of us, you know, getting along with our neighbors like the rabbits and the cats seem to know how to do. You know, part of the problem is, of course, that we don't spend as much time wiggling and giggling because we're spending too much time watching the screens and we're letting them show us, you know, what to wiggle and giggle about instead of going out and finding out for ourselves. So kids need to spend as much time wiggling and giggling with their friends and family, you know, to grow healthy brains because, you know, we have to practice being human. We don't know how to be a human when we're born. We have to learn, and we learn from watching all the people around us, and including those screens can teach us some things too, because our brains are always learning. They're always scanning the environment to learn. So today we are celebrating human brains in particular. The human brain is a special layer at the very top of our head. Inside our skull, the top layer of our brain is a special layer that only humans have. You know, this is pretty special. This is why only humans can do math and make music. And, you know, there's one side of our brain that does art and thinks creatively. The other side of our human brain does math and thinks critically and about time and space and reads the clock. And so we're going to start out by celebrating all the wonderful things that humans can do, including some counting songs and having fun, of course, because that's what it's all about. I hope you guys are having a great Saturday. Thanks for joining me.
People are having fun. like me and you. People are having fun. People are having fun. People are having fun. I see people are having fun. Ooh, oh, 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 oh. Ooh, oh, 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 people are having fun. People are having fun. People are having fun. I see people are having fun. People skip.
Girls and boys, this time we're going to do a song about two little blackbirds. You know, all of these songs and rhymes that we do with counting will help us to learn our numbers better. Now, this is about two of them. Now, let's raise our pointing fingers. And then we're going to shake these fingers so we have a lot of rhythm as we play. Now, it goes like this. Two little blackbirds sitting on a hill. One. Now, someone said a wall. We haven't come to that part. So let's just start with him. Listen to me for just a little bit, all right? Two little blackbirds sitting on a hill. One's named Jack and the other's named Jill. Now put your finger, fly away, Jack. Now put your finger in back of your whole hand. Then fly away, Jill. That's right. Fly, come back, Jack. That's right. Bring your hands back again. Come back, Jill. Now use your pointing fingers and shake them again. Then two little blackbirds sitting on a hill. One named Jack and the other's named Jill. All right, now you sing it to me this time.
Two little blackbirds sitting on a hill. Jack and the other's named Jill.
Fly away,
Jack.
That's right.
Fly away, Jill. Come back, Jack. Come back, Jill. Two little blackbirds sitting on a hill. One's named Jack and the other's named Jill.
Now, I noticed that, you know, we had sung another version of this, and we used two other names. Two little blackbirds sitting on a wall named, one name's Peter and the other's name what?
Paul.
Paul. All right, let's sing that version, all right. Two little blackbirds sitting on a wall. One's named Peter and the other's named Paul. Fly away, Peter. Fly away, Paul.
Come back, Peter, come back, Carl. Two little blackbirds sitting on a wall. One named Peter and the other named Carl.
All right, fine.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 1 and 20, 2 and 20, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 20. 27, 28, 29, 30. 1 and 30, 2 and 30, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 30. 37, 38, 39, 40. 1 and 40, 2 and 40, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 40. 47, 48, 49, 50, 1 and 50, 2 and 50, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 50, 57, 58, 59, 60.
I
Now, girls and boys, when I hold my hands out like this, and then I ball them up real tightly. What are they now?
Fists.
These are fists, that's right. Now we're gonna play this little game of counting again, and it's called one potato, two potato. Now what you do is take your fists and you put one on top of the other and you keep changing back and forth again. All right, so it's one potato, two potato, three potato, four, five potato, six potato, seven potato more. All right, now this time we'll do it just a little faster. One potato, two potato, three potato, four, five potato, six potato, seven potato, more. Now this time we're going to reach almost to the sky, but just gradually we'll go up and keep changing our fists back and forth, but go all the way up to the ceiling, all right? One potato, two potato, three potato, four, five potatoes, six potatoes, seven potatoes, more. Oh boy, you're stretching all the way up there. Now we've got to bring them down again, so. One potato, two potato, three potato, four, five potatoes, six potatoes, seven potatoes, more. And sometime when you play this game, you can have several people play it, but each person has a chance to put his fists on top of the other, and you keep stacking them. All right, let's check it once through again, all right? One potato, two potato, three potato, four, five potato, six potato, seven potato, more. How fast can you go? One potato, two potato, three potato, four, five potato, six potato, seven potato, more. Fine.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that Arthur's song, My Brain. I couldn't help playing that again because, of course, our brains is the theme again this week. Our brains and how screens are affected by them, how television and video games and cell phones affect our brains. And so I just love that song. And I really love the part where he says, my brain has a mind of its own, because it wakes him up early on a Saturday morning, even though he doesn't have to get up early on a Saturday morning. But his brain has gotten into the habit of getting up early all week. And so things that we practice over and over definitely stick in our brain. You may have noticed that, right? That's how we learn. So speaking of brains, where is our brain? Do you know where your brain is? Arthur said something about a skull. What's the skull? Well, if you take your knuckles and you knock lightly on your head, knock, 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 it almost sounds like someone's at the door, right? It almost sounds like you can hear the knocking at the door. Well, that's actually your skull. Your skull is a bone. It's actually a bunch of little bones that fuse together after we're born into one solid bone. And that bone protects our soft brain. Our soft brain is inside of our skull. And inside our skull, this brain is always very busy. So last week, we learned about our reptile brain, and we learned a little bit about dinosaurs and snakes and things and birds, because they have reptile brains. That's the only part of the brain that they have. And where is our reptile brain? Well, if you take your hand and you put it right at the base of your skull, so in the back, right where your skull meets your spine. Your spine are the bones in your back, right? So it's right at the top of your neck and at the base of your skull, inside your head. That's where your reptile brain is. And why is it there? Well, it has to be close to your spinal cord, because that's where all the nerves run to the rest of your body. And your reptile brain is in charge of keeping you alive. It needs to make sure your heart is beating all the time and you're breathing, and it's always looking for danger. You know, if you put your hand on a hot stove, it's your reptile brain that's going to say, ah, get your hand off, and your hand's going to whip away from that heat faster than you can think about it. And that's why our reptile brains are close to our spines, so that they can act very quickly in case of danger or in case of good things we want, like something yummy to eat, right? So those reptile brains are always looking around in the environment for things that might be dangerous, for things that are good to eat and drink, and for family opportunities and friendship opportunities. And love. So that part of our brain is always paying attention. And we talked about last week how the TV often has things on it to get our reptile brain to look, right? Our reptile brain believes that everything it sees is real, including things on the TV. Now, I had this happen to me when I was a little girl. I used to have a cat who thought the TV was real. Now, maybe you have a pet who thinks the TV's real, right? My cat would sit there and watch hockey with me and my family. And when that hockey puck was going around on the screen and the players were bouncing it back, you know, playing it back, sliding it back and forth, my cat would watch that hockey puck go back and forth and back and forth. And when it went off the screen, guess what she did? She ran around the television to look for it. She literally thought that the hockey puck was in the room. Well, that's a good explanation of what our reptile brain thinks. It always thinks that what it's seeing is really in the room with it, which is why it can get really fooled by the television and other screens that we watch, right? Now, don't worry, because there is a special part of our brain on top, our thinking human brain, that understands that the TV isn't real. In fact, this part of our brain invented the television and invented time and math and music and all the other wonderful things that only humans do. So if you take your hands and you put them on top of your head at the very top, one hand on one side and one hand on the other, you are touching your two frontal lobes, also known as your human brain, or we're going to call it our thinking brains, because this is where humans do our thinking. One side of our thinking brain is really good at measuring, at math, at counting, at putting things into categories and thinking about specific things and keeping track of them. And the other side is really good at putting all that stuff together and making music and art and stories out of it. In fact, our thinking brain is where we learn to talk. We are talking in our thinking brains all the time. Do you ever hear your head talking to itself, right? That's your brain talking to itself. That's your thinking brain trying to figure things out. Because our thinking brains are actually in charge of figuring out the world. This is where we make big decisions. You know, how do I want to behave? Who do I want to be friends with? And what are the things I want to do? And how am I going to do them? This is the part of the brain that can help us humans do all the special things we do, like build airplanes and build television sets and figure out how things work and figure out how we can all get to the same place at the same time by looking at our clocks and counting how many cookies everybody gets. If we use our thinking brains all the time. Now, unfortunately, some people are worried that we don't use our thinking brains enough when we're watching TV. And that's because even though our thinking brains are pretty smart, they also work really slowly. They like to take their time and mull things over. And the television screen just does not give us time for that. It's one picture after another picture after another picture, and it goes so fast that our thinking brains can't keep up. And in fact, they might take a little nap while we're watching TV. And as my friend said yesterday, let's watch TV so we don't have to think. And you might say that too. And so people are a little worried that maybe all this not thinking when we're watching TV, we're losing practice. All right, so let's get back to some people who have been doing some thinking, some artists of the world. We're going to learn a little bit about Mozart and Bach and how they wrote these amazing, beautiful tunes because, you know, art and thinking brains go together. It's part of what makes humans special. Thanks for joining me. Here we go.
This is the story of a family who never did a thing except for watch TV. Until one day when the family pet pulled the plug on their TV set, and they blinked, cleared their heads, and they picked up a book and they read. And that's the way they all became the Brainiacs. Papa knows the almanac from A to Z. He's a five-time champion on Jeopardy. And Mama Brain's a self-taught scientist. She built a nuclear reactor in the barbecue pit. Teen Brain invented an electric car. It can drive across the country on a single charge. The littlest brain is a billionaire. Her company's the leader in computer software. The Brainiacs. The president called on the Brainiacs to help find a way to pay the national debt. We owe it all to that wonderful pet who pulled the plug on their TV set. And they blinked, cleared their heads, and they picked up a book and they read. And that's the way they all became the brain.
That's the way they all became the brain.
That's the way they all became the brain.
The Brainiacs.
I, the brain, will now engage in my favorite entertainment. I like to think. That was very satisfying.
Now Mozart's at the window.
Let him in, let him in, let him in.
Now Mozart's in the closet.
Let him out, let him out, let him out.
He's here.
He's in your hair.
He's there.
He's everywhere.
Mozart's on the rooftop.
Let him in, let him in, let him in.
He's coming down the chimney now. He's tracking dirt around the house.
He makes a whinny like a horse and then he's quiet as a mouse.
He's hiding underneath the sofa over there. And he goes, he seems to disappear into thin air. Here he is, I found him swinging from the chandelier.
Funky Papa's beer.
In his underwear.
In his underwear.
In his underwear or where. He's always running here or there. It's true, so true.
Oh, what will his poor mama say when she finds he's broken all the china she got in France, which was hand-painted with a strange medieval dance of torment prancing in short pants?
The prize begonias in the yard were hit hard, they never had a chance. They're trampled underneath the garden window, the roses do. Painted blue by you know who.
He never, never, ever seems to give a worry or a care. He's always spinning like a top, there's always trouble in the air. There'll never be a moment's peace as long as little Mozart's there.
He is trouble everywhere. He is trouble everywhere, I swear. Now Mozart's very quiet, it's fishy. Suspicious.
Where is he?
He's skating
now
on the sidewalk. He's running in the hallway.
He's talking in the movies.
He's eating on the subway.
He's feeding all the meters.
He's hugging our great leaders.
He's just upon a jet plane.
He's stuck at John's Lane.
He's stuck at John's Lane.
John's Lane.
John's Lane.
John's
Lane. John's Lane.
And now he's at the airport.
He's rearranged the flowers.
He's splashing in the fountain.
He's calling for room service.
Concierge is nervous.
Now Mozart's blowing smoke from a cigar.
There's chaos in the lobby. Bad boy Mozart's on the bar, playing loud guitar.
Now Mozart's in his bedroom.
Let me out, let me out, let me out.
He's grounded for the weekend.
Let me out, let me out, let me out.
Unfair!
Pounds the door.
Unfair!
He stumps the floor.
His mother's wearing headphones.
Shut him out, shut him out, shut him out.
Now Mozart's sliding down the drain by the window of his room. He lands as lightly as a cat and looks around him in the gloom. He's got a backpack full of toilet paper with a faint perfume.
Flying high above the moon and under the sky.
The trees will bloom.
Each and every branch is dripping white. His mom will surely cry.
Outside his room.
Howling at the
his mother can do not but fret his fume.
Can do not but fret his
fume. To his father in cartoon.
She's to his father in cartoon.
When Jack returns, his son will meet his doom. Kaboom.
Well, what did you guys think of that Mozart song? Wasn't that hilarious? I'm always trying to think about what is that song about, and I've heard it several times. I don't know if you have, and I don't know what you think about it. I think about a little child that's getting into all kinds of trouble, right? And spray painting things and going in the door and out the door and always wanting to do and get into trouble and experiment. And you know what? That's all exercising that child's thinking brain. Mozart's thinking brain is getting stronger the more he or she, you know, experiments in all those different ways. And it reminds me of a story I heard about how Albert Einstein grew such an amazing thinking brain. Do you guys know who Albert Einstein was? He's a famous scientist, and he lived about 100 years ago, and he discovered all kinds of amazing things and mathematics. He was really good at math and invented all kinds of new ways of thinking about math and space and time. And how did he grow up? Well, actually, he grew up without many toys and without many friends either. In fact, he was dyslexic, which means he had a hard time reading when he was a boy. And back then, people thought that if you were dyslexic, then you weren't very smart. Well, boy, were they wrong, weren't they? And so poor Einstein, when he was a boy, he actually did not have many friends. He did not have a TV screen or a video game or anything. He did not have baby Einstein, the electronic toy to play with, that's for sure. He didn't have any of that stuff. And guess what he actually played with? Mud in his backyard. He attributed his great brain to all the time that he spent playing in the mud in his backyard. Now, what did mud teach him? Well, it taught him pretty much everything he needs to know about planet Earth, right? Moisture and density and weight and matter and all kinds of things that have to do with living here on Earth. And of course, that's one of the biggest problems with all these screens is that people are forgetting what it's like here on Earth. And they're not taking the time to think things over properly, right? Let's think and mull and actually get bored for a minute, because boredom is actually a sign that your brain, your thinking brain, has enough room to have thoughts of its own. So don't be scared or worried if you get bored. Please, just let it be for a minute and see what your thinking brain comes up with, because that's going to be when you probably come up with the most creative, amazing human thoughts possible. And so we're going to hear now about Bach, who was a famous composer. He's going to go visit a little girl and encourage her to do some more piano practicing. And he's going to explain a little bit about, you know, how he came to write all the amazing music that he wrote with his thinking brain. Because thinking brains, human brains, that layer on top that only humans have, well, there are a couple of other animals that have a little layer, but we have the biggest one. And we get to do all these amazing fun things with it. And so I hope you're enjoying exercising your thinking brain today with me. Let's keep going.
T-10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5,
Roger, EPI
four,
is started.
3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition.
40. Status check, pressurization. Locks to
lift off.
In 1977, the capsule Voyager was sent into space. Inside were greetings in 54 languages, 117 different pictures of the planet Earth, a drawing of a man and a woman, sounds of whales, wind, rain, elephants, avalanches, birds, fires, crickets, wild dogs herding sheep, ships, trains, frogs, volcanoes, mothers, children, a kiss, and music. 27 pieces of the best music from all over the world. All kinds of music. Drummers from Senegal, pan pipes from Peru. Music by Stravinsky, Louis Armstrong, Chuck Berry, Blind Willie Johnson, Mozart, Beethoven. And 3 pieces by Johann Sebastian Bach. Voyager is still in space with the stars, but down here on Earth, a little girl practices the piano.
Okay, I've done it.
No, you haven't.
I did so. I played it twice.
Playing it twice isn't practicing.
But everybody else is outside and having fun and...
I don't care what everybody else is doing.
But, Mom, it's a nice...
You wanted to learn the piano.
I know, but I...
So no more arguments.
Yeah. Not bad, but it's too... You have to be more smooth, Elizabeth, more relaxed. So, relax your shoulders and...
Who are you?
I just love that piece.
Are you a burglar?
Such a pretty tune.
A burglar, a crook, you know, someone who breaks into your house and steals stuff. A jailbird.
So?
So you were.
What?
Not what, were.
Where?
In jail.
Who told you?
You were!
So what? Worse could happen. So, relax, miss the fingers and the shoulders.
Why did they put you in jail?
For not practicing. Now, try it again. Here, I show you. Now, you see? Oh, what a beautiful instrument.
It's just an old piano.
Yeah, for you old, but for me, young and beautiful, just beautiful. I never played on one of these before.
Hey, you want to steal it?
I never said I wanted to steal it. I just said I never played on one of these before.
What if I gave it to you?
I don't want to own it. I just like the sound it makes. You see, we didn't have pianos in my day.
Really?
Yeah, lots we didn't have in my day. No zippers, no noodle soup in a can, no TV, no bicycles, no dolls that say, "Hi, my name is Debbie and I'm your friend." Anyhow, I was thinking... I wrote a little piece once that might sound good on a piano. Would you mind if I...
Sure.
All right, here goes.
My mind. You can't have it after all, Mr.
Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach.
You're kidding.
Why would I kid a nice little girl like you?
Because the person who wrote my music book was called Johann Sebastian Bach.
That's me.
This is getting weird.
Excuse me, but do you have any more chairs?
What?
We need more chairs.
Are you with Mr.
Bach?
Bach. Are you with Mr. Bach?
We're early. We've come to set up.
Don't mind them. They're from the choir.
If they make a mess, my mom will kill me.
Maybe she'll send you to jail.
That's not very funny.
He's not a comedian. He's a singer. Surprise!
And I got sent to jail because I worked for the wrong duke. He wasn't very nice. As a matter of fact, he was mean. And things were even worse for the orchestra.
What orchestra? This orchestra?
No. This orchestra is mine. The duke's orchestra's job was to accompany the choir in the Sunday cantatas, and my job was to write the cantatas and rehearse the singers. But the musicians' gallery was terribly crowded and freezing cold. Yeah, it wasn't a fun place, the castle, but I wrote some pretty good stuff there. Yeah, maybe you know this one.
Thank you.
Beethoven, one of the great composers of all time, Ludwig von Beethoven. This little melody called Fur Elise. I don't know who he wrote it for, but one of the things I've often wondered about this song, I've often wondered how long I'm supposed to play this part of it before I come to this part of it that goes like this. But one of the neat things about Beethoven, if you think about it, let me tell you, listen to this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All he had was 8 little notes, just 8 little notes, but oh, what Mr. B did with Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do, Lo. All he used were 8 little notes, just 8, count them 8 like these. He'd mix and match and hatch a batch of catchy melodies. Now I could take 2 notes and come up with nothing of note. Mr. B took a G and a flattened E and wrote fantastic. And all he had was 8 little notes, just 8 little notes like these, which goes to show that one man's scale is another man's symphonies. Oh yeah. Yet all he had was 8 little notes, just 8 little notes, just 8. But he wrote 9 symphonies and also some great quartets, quintets, fugues and sonatas, plus an opera and a few cantatas, using only 8 little notes in a row. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Do, ti, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do.
And my brain told me just how does it work? I don't know.
But your brain works all the time. And don't ask me, but your brain works all the time.
When your brain works all the time, it's really easy to think.
So your brain works all the time.
Part 2!
Your brain works all the time. 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 Your brain works all the time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, folks, I hope you were enjoying that celebration of music. 8 little notes. 8 little notes, that's all it takes, right? To write all of the music that we hear. And music and math actually go together quite well. You know, counting and measuring and keeping track. Those are all amazing things that our thinking brains can do. And, you know, musicians can not only, you know, think of the music, but they can also write it down with musical notes so that people, you know, hundreds of years later can come along and play the same song. This is amazing. This is an amazing trait of our human thinking brains. And one of the ways that our thinking brains that only humans have is so different from the other parts of our brain. Because this part of our brain is where we can compare things and reason. Reason means make sense out of things. Does it make sense? And one of the ways that we can keep our thinking brain awake while we look at our screens is to ask them a couple of important questions. The first question we can ask our thinking brain while we watch a movie or play a video game or watch a story or watch the news even is we can ask ourselves, who made this TV show or this video game and why did they make it? You know, are they making it to hold our attention? Is that why there is so much danger or scary stuff or food or falling in love, right, happening on that screen? Is it so that it'll get us to look? Maybe they're trying to sell us something for those advertisers, right? So who made this TV show and why did they make it? The second question we can ask is what are they role modeling? What is my reptile brain learning? Because remember, my reptile brain is always learning. So what is it going to think is real if it watches this? Is it going to think that that's really how people should treat each other? Is it going to think that that's really good food to eat, right? If I'm watching a junk food commercial, my reptile brain might actually believe that those things are good for me, right? So we have to pay attention to what is being role modeled. What are the actions and the values, the important things that are being shown? You know, they're teaching us what's important on that screen. And what is my brain learning about what's important in the world? Is money the most important thing, right? Is being popular the most important thing? We really have to think that over. And the third thing that we could ask our brains is, how would these actions and values work in the real world if I tried them, right? What if I did only ever eat French fries all day? Would that be good for me? Well, when I was a little girl, I thought so. But luckily, my parents knew better, right? And were able to teach me to eat other things, too. And so how would these things work in the real world? Well, that's one of the differences between hearing a story, like when I tell the words of a story, you have to think about it in your thinking brain. But when you see it on the screen, your thinking brain doesn't have a chance to ask those questions, and it goes right into our reptile brain, where the lessons are going to be held for a very long time, in fact, the rest of our lives. So we do have to be careful what we feed our brains. These next couple of songs and stories are about, they're about things on the screen that are not true, right? Or things that are not real, and what do our brains think of them? Like an eggplant that ate Chicago. This is a silly song. I hope you enjoy. Thanks for joining me.
You better watch out for the eggplant that ate Chicago.
You better watch out.
He might eat your city soon.
Eat your city soon.
You better watch out for the eggplant that ate Chicago.
You better watch
if he's
out.
Still hungry, the whole country's doomed. He came from outer space just looking for something to eat.
Something to eat.
While in Chicago, he says, this is sweet, as sweet as sugar. You better watch out for the eggplant that ate Chicago.
You better watch out.
For he might eat your city soon.
Eat your city soon.
You better watch out eggplant that ate Chicago.
You better watch
if he's
out.
Still hungry, the whole country's doomed.
You better watch
if he's
out.
Still hungry, the whole country's doomed.
You better watch
if he's
out.
Still hungry, the whole country's doomed. Oop, oop, oop.
Another way to get rid of a nightmare
is to laugh at it.
But I'm shaking too hard to laugh.
I'll help you, Nelson. Come on, everybody, join in. Come on, everybody, laugh.
Gee, thanks. That worked great. Hey, who are you?
It's a bird.
I'm not a bird, Brain.
Then you must be a dinosaur.
I'm not a dopey dinosaur.
This is a kind of a pterodactyl. A flying reptile called a Quetzalcoatlus.
Oh!
But who are you?
I'm Cuey, the Quetzalcoatlus kid. I'm a baby.
You're a baby?
You're too big to be a baby.
You should see my mommy. She's as big as an airplane.
Cuey, a plane?
Her wings are 50 feet wide.
That's as big as a plane.
How do you fly with wings that wide?
I just put out my wings and I wait for a breeze.
Dad, can you tell me a story?
Of course I can.
Dad, can you tell me a story?
Of course I can tell you a story. It's a great story.
Once upon a time, there was a very evil man who always wore a cape and mask and did mean things. His name was Dr. Nasty.
Did his parents name him Dr. Nasty?
No, it was just a name he made up because he wanted to be mean and have people be afraid of him.
Why?
Well, just because. Do you want me to tell this story?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, well, this guy, Dr. Nasty, was very mean. He kidnapped pets and put them in the dungeon where there were rats, and he didn't feed them. And one day he heard a little dog yapping and decided he was going to get rid of all the dogs on the planet. So he made a plan.
Dad?
What?
Is this true?
Well, no.
Could it really happen? I mean, is this the way something real would happen?
Well, no.
So it's like it would happen on TV or video or something.
Yeah, it's not the real way. It's the TV way.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, one day Dr. Nasty was walking down the street and under his cape he had an invisible net. And a little girl named Susie was walking her dog down the street and the dog grrrred at Dr. Nasty and Dr. Nasty laughed evilly. And he flung out his invisible net and captured the dog and Susie and took them to the dungeon. And Susie stuck her tongue out and said, "I'm not afraid of you, Dr. Nasty." And that made him even madder.
Where did this happen?
Well, on the street.
Why didn't anybody just stop it? I would have called for help and people would have stopped it.
Well they couldn't because Dr. Nasty was too strong.
Oh, you didn't say he was strong. But why was he so mean?
He just was.
Some people are just born mean?
Well, no, not really. Something happens to make him mean, usually.
So this isn't the real way. It's the TV way.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, well, anyway, what Dr. Nasty didn't know was that the best and the nicest and the strongest superhero in the whole world just happened to be around the corner buying an ice cream cone. It was the Fearless Falcon. When the Fearless Falcon heard Susie and her dog calling for help with his super hearing, he used his super magic trail follower and followed them to the secret hideout of Dr. Nasty. Unfortunately for the Fearless Falcon, Dr. Nasty was waiting with his evil dogs to bite him in the legs and arms.
I thought you said Dr. Nasty didn't like dogs.
Well, these were evil dogs.
Oh, it's the TV way, not the real way.
Right, and they tied up the Fearless Falcon and put him in a box to throw him in the ocean. And Dr. Nasty started to catch all the cute little dogs and even cats and planned to get rid of them.
Dad?
Wait, but then Susie yelled at Dr. Nasty and the Fearless Falcon heard her and got really mad. And then the Fearless Falcon used his magic belt with superpowers and he burst out of the box. And Dr. Nasty started to shoot guns at him and swing laser swords, but nothing could stop the Fearless Falcon. And he didn't want to do it, but he had to smack Dr. Nasty right in the kisser.
Dad?
And Dr. Nasty fell out of the window of his castle into the ocean, which was right there. But a boat was waiting, and it caught him, and he escaped. And the Fearless Falcon untied Susie and let all the dogs go back home in time for dinner.
Dad.
What?
The Fearless Falcon hit Dr. Nasty right in the face?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Didn't that hurt?
I guess, but he was a bad guy.
Don't bad guys get hurt when they get hit?
Well, yeah, sure, I guess.
And he fell out of a castle into a boat?
Well, yeah, so he got away.
And he wasn't hurt?
Well, no, I mean, maybe a little.
If you got hit and fell out of a window into a boat, wouldn't you be hurt?
Well, yeah, but this is different.
How come?
Well, because it's not the real way, it's the TV way.
And why didn't anybody ever talk to Dr. Nasty? Why did the Fearless Falcon just decide to hit him?
Well, you couldn't talk to him.
How come?
Because it's the TV way.
Should I just hit somebody?
No, I want you to do it the real way.
You mean listen to them and talk to them?
Right.
So why did you tell me that story?
I don't know.
Dad?
Yeah?
I think you've been watching too much television.
I think you're right.
It's an honor being on the honor roll, and when you make it, you should be proud. But let's talk about the roll of honor, and if you want on, I'll show you how. Always be kind and honest. Help people that need your help. Always be truthful and friendly. Take pride in yourself. Get on the roll of honor. Get on the roll of honor. Get on the roll of honor. be what you'd like others to be. Get on a roll of honor, work real hard. Use what you've got to be a roll of honor nominee. Get on a roll of honor. Best manners all the time. Care about what others think. Do your best to be your best. Wash your bad self down the sink. Someone's different, don't stand and stare. Offer a helping hand. That person may become your best friend. You be helping your fellow man. Get on the roll of honor. Get on the roll of honor. Get on the roll of honor. Be what you'd like others. Get on a roll of honor, work real hard. Use what you've got to be a roll of honor nominee. Get on a roll of honor. If you get on the roll of honor, I'll tell you what it's worth. It'll make you feel like a king of kings, though it's you you're gonna serve. You'll feel good about yourself, feel all warm inside. You can walk down the street wearing a smile that shows nothing but pride. Get on the roll of honor. Get on the roll of honor. Get on the roll of honor. Be what you'd like others to be. Get on the roll of honor, work real hard. Use what you've got to be a roll of honor nominee. Get on the roll of honor.
Well, folks, we're at the end of Amy's Kids Show today, and boy, we've been having a lot of fun celebrating our thinking brains and our human brains and human behavior, which is things like following the golden rule, like that last song was singing about, you know, do unto others as you want them to treat you. That's a human trait, thinking things through and thinking about with our thinking brain, what will happen if I behave this way or if I treat my friend this way? You know, what's going to happen? What are they going to think? You know, thinking things over and planning our actions, that's special human stuff. And we need to practice doing that, right? We need to get out there in the world today and practice being human and practice, you know, thinking about things and thinking things over and understanding, of course, that eggplants can't eat Chicago, right? We can see things on the screen that might teach our reptile brain things that aren't even true. And then we'll be afraid of eggplants. And eggplants are a beautiful vegetable we should not be afraid of, right? So let's all get out there and play in the mud like Albert Einstein and grow some healthy brains today. I hope you're having a lot of fun. I hope you continue to have a lot of fun. Thank you for joining me for Amy's Kids Show. And please stay tuned for all of the wonderful programming that's coming up on GDR for the rest of the day. Thank you for listening to Central Vermont Community Radio.
WGDR Plainfield, WGDH Hardwick, Goddard College Community Radio.
This is Music is Art Radio, and I'm your host and producer, Ruku Murray. This show has been prepared in advance for airing and streaming on WGDR 91.1 Plainfield, WGDH 91.7 Hardwick.